Shall I say something?
Well, let me say again. This is Mary Bodell talking to Ann Langdon at Noble Horizons. Ann is Mrs. George Langdon. Her husband was headmaster of the Salisbury School. And today is August 10th, 1992. Ann, I would like to have you tell me about when you and George came to the Salisbury School, the year you came, and what the school was like when you were here in your early days here.
Well, Mary, we came in June 1942. We had a five-year-old who, her fifth birthday was the first party we had in the school, a predecessor of a great many more. And we had a son who was nine. He went to Indian Mountain and she went to Town Hill. And we moved into the beautiful headmaster's house, which is still lovely, lovely, and all of our successors have enjoyed it tremendously. The school had 49 boys. It now has a great many more, 230, I think. And we loved it the minute we got here. We had to work awfully hard.
All right.
Is it on?
Yes, it's on now.
There was the main building, and there was patient dormitory, and a old building which was used as a gymnasium. It was a very simple place for the boys to play basketball. So everything that happened in the school happened in the headmaster's house, which I thought was wonderful because we had plenty of room and we had plenty of things, silver and china and things like that, to have the parties. We had teas almost every Saturday afternoon after a game, which I loved. It was great fun to have people come into the house. Our contact with the village was a good one. We didn't see too much of the village people during those years because we were terribly busy at school. Everybody, it was 1942 and everybody was working hard. We had a victory garden. Eventually we had an accelerated program to get the boys who would be 18, so they would have their diplomas when they got through the school. We had war graduations in December, which were shattering. They were so emotional and they were just very emotional. There were not many boys that graduated at that time, but the whole school would come.
How about the faculty? Did they go off to war?
The faculty, no, not many of them. They were ancient, I think. I mean, they weren't ancient, but the faculty, some went off to war, but after the war, the faculty was increased and improved tremendously. People that George knew already, that he taught actually at Pomfret came. There were two people from Pomfret who he had taught as boys, Jeff Walker and Wally Herrick. And they added a great deal because we had a very, very strong faculty. Horace Seeley Brown, who ran for governor, came. He was a great scientist, teacher. He went into politics and was in the Congress for 16 years. He taught at the school for a couple of years and helped design the laboratory at Payson, which went up, not at Payson, but the Memorial Hall, which was dedicated in 1951 to the boys who had lost their lives in the war. I really can't.
Was Hop Rudd there then?
Hop Rudd was there. He came. Great, great addition. Our faculty was exceptionally strong. It was just marvelous.
And did Joe Rudd teach?
Joe Rudd came, and she took all kinds of courses and studied a great deal and was really an expert in her expert. Well, she was perfectly wonderful. She was a wonderful person.
Did she teach the boys?
And she taught the boys, yes. She was a regular faculty member.
So you had women teachers back in the 40s?
Yes.
Lots of boys' schools did not.
Yes, well, we had her.
Yes.
She was the only one. Mm. Is this recorded, what
yes.
you're saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How about feeding the boys? Where did they eat?
Well, they had a dining room. Mm-hmm. And everybody went to meals. The faculty were more or less required, not really required, but hoped that they would go. It was homey. We had tables. The boys waited on the tables. Up to that time, I think they'd had waitresses. And during the war, they no longer had waitresses. But the boys learned to wait on the table. They waited very well. And we sat at long tables for eight. Now they sit at round tables, which I think are almost nicer. But ours were nice too.
Were many of your faculty members married?
Not a great many, but some were.
And would the wives come to the meals too?
Oh yes, they were hoped, we hoped they'd come.
And how about the children?
No, the children did not come. We didn't have very many children then.
You had your children.
Our children and the Mulligans had children, but they didn't come. Most of them were really too small. I mean, in those days, we didn't take the little children around as much as they do now.
No, that's true. How about the chapel? I know the current building is new, but you were an Episcopal school, so you probably had
a chapel, a perfectly darling, darling little chapel downstairs. It was in the basement. But it was just charming, and it had a dear little altar, and eventually it was paneled. Jack Peaceman, who was a perfectly marvelous carpenter, paneled the sides. It was a charming little place. And then, we were so thrilled when we got our new chapel. It was a dream. In the meantime, there had been other buildings that had been built, including a gymnasium, and I know that George got a letter at one time from an irate alumnus saying, how could he build a gymnasium before a chapel? And this was bone contention. And we had a dear little chapel, and then we have this sensational chapel now, which probably one of the most beautiful school chapels in the whole circuit. It's just lovely, lovely, lovely. And the boys would go in every morning at 8 o'clock. We had chapel at 8 every morning. They'd go in after breakfast, sing a hymn. I think they would read a psalm, and there was a prayer, and that was chapel. And they did it automatically, loved it. Nobody ever fussed about it. It was just part of life. Too bad it's given up, but that's modern thinking.
Well, now, on Sundays, did George conduct a service in the chapel?
Yes. 8 o'clock, we had communion, and then he had the 10:30 service.
Now, was that?
And they all went.
Yes.
They did not ever have to go to communion. It was not required, but they went, a few, not many, but some went. And there was a very active chapel committee.
How old was the school when you came there in 1940?
It was started in 1901. So it was about 40 years.
I don't understand. It is an Episcopal church school, is that
it right? Is. It still is.
And therefore, does the headmaster have to be an Episcopal
minister? No. He's not now, the headmaster is not. Emerson Quayle was not. I understand he was perhaps thinking of studying to be a clergyman, but of course he died so young and so tragically, leaving four little children and his lovely widow, Charlotte Milmine Quayle, who was a great friend of ours.
Yes.
We were very, very close and loved her dearly. And of course, her daughters were just Mary Ann's age, our daughter, and they were good friends.
Then George Langdon succeeded Emerson Quayle.
Yes. And his father had founded the school. He was a clergyman. And Emerson was teaching at Hotchkiss, and he was asked to take over Salisbury. And they had some rough years. It was during the Depression. But they added on to the house that was originally there. And it the house that stands right now, a beautiful house, plenty of room. We had lots of guests, and at one point we had boys in the back of that house because we needed the space and we didn't have enough. It was before Quayle had been built. Quayle Dormitory, which is right there as you come in the entrance. That was, I'm not sure when that was built, but in the 50s sometime.
Did you have an admissions person, or did George do the admissions?
Well, he did almost everything in those days.
Well,
he was chaplain and business manager and headmaster. But he, yes, we did. Gordon Reed did quite a bit of admissions when he came. These were in the early days were when we had not as many people on the faculty. But there was an admissions, yes, there was.
Did Gordon come after you did?
Oh, yes, long time. I mean, not a long, yes. 4 or 5 years. During the war years, everyone, as you know, as most people know, was busy. He was in Washington, I think, during those years, Gordon was. Mm-hmm. And then he came up and did a good job, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, did he and Charlotte live there?
No, they lived in the house the big house on the lake.
Right, I know that house.
Yes.
So he came, he was a day teacher.
Yeah, yes, oh yes. Well, there, and Maurice Faruski taught for a while during the war.
What did he teach?
Brilliant teacher.
Yes, he would be.
History. Marvelous teacher.
Oh, I think he'd be wonderful. Well, he lived.
In the village.
In the village, yes. Mm-hmm.
He was really a brilliant teacher. George felt he was almost one of the best.
I would think he would have been. Mm-hmm.
The boys liked him very, very much.
How about Carl Williams?
Carl was marvelous. Carl came at a very crucial time in the school and added, oh, so tremendously. Marvelous teacher. Marvelous teacher. And, of course, we all know about Harold Corbin. He was the first teacher that George engaged in the school, and he was there. He and Florey were there in those critical years, the beginning of the school, and our friendship.
Now, did they live on campus?
Yes. They lived in the Lake College.
Right.
And the boys adored them both, of course.
I'm sure they would. Wonderful people.
And they were wonderful, wonderful additions to the school in every way.
I have a cousin from Baltimore who went to that school. Did you advertise the school, or was it sort of word of mouth that people heard of it?
Well, I think people heard of it that way. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking today, if you were going to ask me, what did I do at the school? And you haven't, fortunately, because I think you probably know. But when I became a colonial dame, I wasn't a bit interested in it. And then I thought, well, I'll be around, see more people in the state, and maybe they will know about Salisbury School that way. And then when I became president, I had the same feeling. I wasn't a bit interested in it, but I thought, well, I'll get to Washington and see some people, and maybe they'll hear about Salisbury School.
Well, I had that in my mind. I wanted you to say it, so thank you for doing it. And you have Baltimore connections, because Baltimore boys have always come to that school, as far as I know.
And we didn't have that many.
Well, the ones I know...
I wish we had.
Yes. Well, they have Gilman there. So.
We have Gilman. We had, yes, yes. I used to go to dancing class at Gilman, had a lovely time.
How about the sports at Salisbury School? Was that a big...
They were absolutely important and good and marvelous, and it's incredible when you think back of how few boys there were.
Yes, it is.
And when George put in soccer, people were just having a fit. They said it would take away from the football, and of course, it's a very important sport now, and the same way with the wrestling. When he started the wrestling, people would say there's too many sports here. They can't. But there were boys who were interested in other things besides football and baseball.
That's right.
And rowing. Of course, the rowing was absolutely wonderful. Jeff was the coach, Jeff Walker.
Tell us a little bit about the rowing.
Well, there's nothing really that I can tell except that we had good crews.
And who did you compete against?
Oh, we competed against all the good schools, South Kent. And a lot of the, we competed against Pomfret. And I'm trying to think of, should I start? Mm-hmm. Mary, I was just thinking about the dances at school. They were the old time dances. They were card dances, and the boys invited their own friends, their own girls, to come up and join us. And I would write them and invite them to come.
You write a personal letter to
A personal letter to each girl. And it was so strange, years and years afterwards, someone said, you know, the one thing I remember about Salisbury School was my daughter getting a letter from you, and I was so pleased. It made it all worthwhile when I thought of those hours that I used to write letters to the girls. But it was fun. We had a lovely time.
Did the girls respond?
Yes, they did, and often they would write back and say what a nice time they'd had. But all of that protocol, I don't know.
Where did the girls stay when they came?
They stayed in our house mostly, and then we turned over a dormitory at one time in the beginning when we had very few rooms, places for them to stay. We turned over a whole dormitory on the third floor, and I went up to chaperone, and I hated that. That was awful. Then,
and it's wonderful of you to have told the oral history group so much about the early days that you were at Salisbury School. And this will be an important and very useful part of the social history of the town of Salisbury. Thanks ever so much. I really appreciate you all.
No.
There are a few more words of Anne's on the subject of dances on this tape, but she asked me to erase them because she thought they were too frivolous. So I'd appreciate the person who writes this out, just stopping where I stopped with the thank you note. Thank you again. This is Mary Bodell signing off.
What kind of music did they have?
Oh, we had orchestra, and everybody was all jazzed up, best class. So that was fun.